Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's launch day.
Happy launch day.
This is a crazy day for us because
it is
April 2nd.
Finally launched. Today's the day.
And we are recording this a week early as it is right now, just to be transparent with you guys behind the scenes, because at the time that this podcast airs, we will be out on book tour. As you're listening, we are traveling around the country, hopefully meeting some of you guys.
Yeah.
So come on out.
If we're coming to your city, come on out. If you want to know where we're going to be, aloveletterlife.com, click tour dates. It'll show you where we're going to be. So we'd love to meet you guys.
Yeah. So in light of that.
Yeah. Babe, take it away.
We had just something that I feel is a very big part of the reason why we wrote this book, which is Jeremy and I felt very strongly when we were engaged that we wanted to be more intentional about preparing for our marriage than preparing for our wedding day. That was just something that we really wanted to keep at the forefront when we were engaged and dating. And I think it's something that our culture as a whole, especially our generation, has sort of lost sight of. We spend all this time, years planning this epic wedding day, but then forget to prepare for an epic marriage. And so that's something that Jeremy and I are really passionate about. It's a huge part of why we wrote the book. There's a lot of that in the book. Mm-hmm. But we thought it'd be just fitting for today in light of launch day to unpack sort of the...
Yeah, kind of just go through a few ways we did that. We did prepare for our marriage. And so...
And if you are married, these are things, you know, we have our like sort of six things, if you will, but these are things that...
They're just as helpful to do inside of marriage than it is pre-marriage.
But if you're dating or single or engaged, hopefully there'll be a lot of useful things in this podcast episode for you.
Yeah. So we kind of outlined six things and we're going to go through them. Babe, you want to go through this or just name the six things, then we'll go back to the first one and go through it.
Just to preface the six things, these six things mostly came from conversations that we had while we were in premarital counseling. And premarital counseling was just such a massively helpful part of preparing for our marriage because from our premarital counseling sessions, we would have tangent conversations, we would have tangent actions, decisions, you know, it really helped and trickled. It had a trickle effect.
Yeah. We also, just to be frank, had really good premarital counselors.
Yeah.
Like, so there's that. They actually knew how to, like, what to talk about, had the bring.
And we're going to have them on an episode in a couple weeks. Yeah. So make sure you guys tune into that episode because I'm sure we'll talk more about what we're talking about in this episode with them.
That being said, premarital counseling, a lot of this is going to be what we kind of talked about during premarriage counseling. But there will also be plenty of things that we just did, I think. Yeah.
So the six things, if we could sum it up, that were the most impactful things that we did to prepare for our marriage. Number one, we shared our life stories and testimonies with each other, just kind of our faith backgrounds. Number two, we talked about our family histories, our family's different styles of communication, how our families prioritize things, what following Jesus looked like in both of our families. Number three, we talked about our communication styles growing up and also our communication styles based on our own individual personalities and our communication styles when it came to conflict. Number four, we talked about our financial decisions and our view of money, just kind of how our family shaped our view of debt, spending, saving, investing, giving, budgeting, all that. Number five, we talked about physical intimacy and made a plan for some boundaries to pursue purity up until our wedding day and then also beyond our wedding day. And number six, we talked about shifting me's to we's, and we'll unpack that when we get to number six.
And then something that's actually not on this list that we did do a lot of, babe, which is one of the reasons we pursued premarital counseling. And this is something, if you're married, not married, single, whatever it is, dating, that everyone should be doing, is we read books.
Yeah, I was just gonna, I knew you were gonna say that for some reason. And I was thinking that as I read the list, I'm like, yeah, but that is kind of part of it because.
But my point is, like, I remember thinking, well, like, what is the meaning of marriage? Am I gonna marry Audrey for happiness? Because if so, that would be, you know, an unfair expectation to put on Audrey if that's my perspective of what marriage is for. And we just read a lot of books, listened to a lot of podcasts, tried to get kind of a healthy perspective and understanding of what marriage is, what it's for. Because if you know that, then you can adapt your perspectives and go into it with just kind of more proper intention, if you will.
Yes.
So with that being said, let's go
first. I'm glad you're out of that.
Yeah. So share life stories. Babe, you want to start this one off? Why is that important?
I mean, you know, not that Jared and I hadn't really shared our life stories when we were dating and earlier in our relationship, but we'd shared aspects of them sort of sprinkled out through date nights. And I think that there was just something powerful about sitting down, A, with our premarital counselors and telling our testimony, life story, if you will, in a chronological, like, 3-minute synopsis in front of each other and in front of our premarital counselors. It was just good to get that context going into premarital counseling because
we're going into marriage.
And then it was the first, you know, session, quote unquote, of our premarital counseling. And so it was just good to get reminded of things that had really shaped our lives and shaped our faith before we started talking about, you know, a bunch of other sort of heavier topics maybe. And so I just felt that that was a really helpful refresher.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good context, especially doing it in front of a third party, like premarital counselors, but also years down the line, you know, you're going to have that context when things come up, good or difficult, and you'll just be able to remember and know each other's story, kind of being told in a formal setting.
Right.
I think that's what
formal. I mean, not formal.
But. Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, that is super, super valuable.
Right.
And for us, it was the way to kind of kickstart that preparation as we started to dive into understanding each other more.
Yeah, that was good. So number two was talk about our family histories.
Yeah, this was really, really big, and it was a couple sessions, and it was something that Audrey and I did a lot in our dating, not just premarital counseling, but like in dating, we would always have discussions of like, hey, I noticed like this, does your family do this growing up?
We just actually spent a lot of time with each other's families and noticed things about each other's families because we, you know, since we were long distance, Jeremy would come and stay with my family, or I would go and stay with his family, or we'd go on vacations with each other's families before we were married. And so we would have these chunks of consolidated time with each other's families and realize that our families were very different and that we were raised very different. And so that was really interesting.
Definitely. And I feel like a lot of people people tend to think that, like, oh, well, I'm a byproduct of who I choose to be. And it's like, that couldn't be further from the truth. Like, we get to make choices and develop into the person we want to become, but we are all, you know, byproducts of our childhood and growing up. And that's just a reality.
Yeah. And I think just going off of that, we're byproducts of it, and we can either choose to decide what we want to follow after that our parents did well and what we want to fight against.
Yes.
And definitely. I think that was something that was really helpful for us, was deciding, okay, these are the things we love that our parents did, our family did as a whole.
Yeah.
And these are the things that we didn't really love. And maybe we want to fight against those tendencies.
Yeah.
And so knowing that going into marriage was very helpful, not only for our marriage, but now, especially our future family, some of those discussions we had before we were married that are just now getting applied with, you know, our first daughter. And then on a deeper level than even that, than our immediate families, we also had conversations about, you know, even distant, more distant relatives or deeper family histories into our grandparents and the effects that they had on our generational line.
We got
and all
into
of that.
Like we got bloodline into and generational sin, and are there things that have shown up in?
And if you're like, generational sin, what are you talking about, Jaranaj? Don't worry, that's exactly what we were like. we were like, what is that?
So we go into
and
it
we
a
talk
little
about
bit
that in the book.
We go into it a little bit in the book, and we kind of explain it and break it down. But
just helpful.
It's
to
a
know.
Real thing, and I mean, mm-hmm. it's a very, very studied field out there in the Christian community, and so.
But even just in the non-Christian community, like knowing what addictions run in your family and knowing like
good,
that
good
is
point.
Helpful information to carry into your married marriage and know, okay, what boundaries do we need to set up because of these things?
Again, I think this is all like context. Like even today, today, I mean like here and now this week, you know, Audrey and I married 5 years in, we get to look at each other and we get into discussion or what is Emerson?
Heated fellowship.
We get into heated fellowship or whatever it might be.
I love that.
Yeah. And we know why. There's mm-hmm. context there. And it's because we took the time to go through the groundwork of understanding where each other comes from, mm-hmm. the families we come from, what our families did growing up, what we were trained to do, how we were trained to communicate. And I know we're kind of beating the dead horse on this right now, but
no, it's good, babe.
But
it
was super, super, super helpful. So that's a big one. Talk about your family history.
Number three is talk about your communication styles, which playing off of family history,
this is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer, but if you're anything like us, you'll find yourself 2 years in marriage realizing, whoa, like why is she not getting this, or why is he not getting this? And we discovered a couple really amazing tools that helped us work through this, Enneagram being one of them, mm-hmm. which has been absolutely, in my mind is still blown at how useful it is. Mm-hmm. But so communication styles, like what do I like to do, babe? I like to not talk about it.
Well, hold on though, because it depends on the context that you're communicating. So like, you know, you can talk about, like, I think a lot of our communication styles as human beings does come from how our families communicated. And then beyond that, it comes from our own individual personalities and how that affects our communication. And then beyond that, when you add in the level of or when you add in stress or conflict, then how do you communicate in those situations?
Yep.
So it's like this multifaceted thing of communication. How do you communicate? And the first thing I would say is Jeremy and I's families, we were raised when it came to conflict specifically, but also just in general, my family was very big verbal communicators. Like we verbalized and communicated everything out loud. Like we joke about, it was always a constant speech and debate class in the Bodie household, and we all had strong opinions and we often shared them with raised voices. Whereas in the Roloff household, that wasn't
it
really
was
the case
so.
At all.
But here's the thing, neither one is wrong.
Right.
But in certain contexts though, they could be like mm-hmm. when something needs to be talked about, I sometimes can tend not to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But also when sometimes things don't need to be said and it's like, hey, calm down. Sometimes Audrey needs to learn to, hey, just like calm down. It's okay. You don't need to. So they're both good, just in different ways. The whole point of all this is like, if you don't know this and if you don't know each other's communication styles, and if you're going in a marriage kind of without having not even considered the differences, then this would be super helpful. Like, talk about it. Mm-hmm. And this, again, stems off of, like, discussing how you grew up and stuff.
But. And obviously, communication is such, like, everyone says it, it's such a redundant thing. But, like, communicate, communicate, communicate. It's, like, the thing that everyone says to have a healthy marriage. You got to communicate well.
Yeah.
And so if you don't know your communication styles, then how are you going to communicate well? And
yeah,
so.
Which again, yeah.
Chris and Jamie, our premarital counselors, offered us some just helpful communication guidelines for when it came to conflict specifically. And so they urge us to, like, avoid, you know, when we're in conflict, communicating in conflict, to avoid sarcasm, to eliminate the words never and always from our vocabulary.
Because it's funny. Eliminate never and always, because both of them are never and always. Or sorry, they're always never true.
That's, yeah. And it's just, I don't know. So there were things like that that we just adopted as, like, oh, this is a good general guideline for, like, when we have conflict, let's try to not do those things. Let's try to not use sarcasm and never and always and statements and stuff like that. So anyways, having the conversation about communication styles was very helpful. And I would say that that is an ongoing conversation in our marriage today, because it's just such a huge integral part of our marriage, communicating. And so we're constantly talking about, did I communicate that right, babe? Like, what did I do? You know what I mean? This isn't something that we just done, prepared for before marriage, and here we are.
Yeah, I know. It's a work communicators. Like, we're still novices at this.
You and could this ask, is why our marriage journal has been so helpful, too, because it's been, like, such a great communication tool. But anyways, okay,
number four. At the end of the day, all of these are really just things to be aware of, because you don't master any of them.
Yes.
You can always get better at them, but you're never actually.
And that's why this podcast is for married people, too.
Exactly.
Don't tune out.
Yeah. So next on the list is talk about financial decisions and your view of money, or what we like to call our belief structure around money. Mm-hmm. And this is a good conversation to have pre-marriage, because obviously debt, you got to talk about who's bringing in debt and what, and, you know, you're becoming. What's your view on that? Yeah, because you're.
And is your goal to pay it off, or is it?
And how are you going to do that? Mm-hmm. And does one of you want to go shopping every week, but the other one wants to save up and travel? It's like, that's a discrepancy. So like, that's a good conversation to have. How do you spend money? Where do you spend it? How many credit cards? All of those things are super good. Mm-hmm. And even like within marriage, like we just recently wrote down and established our belief structure around money. Kind of like our, hey, this is our three sentence, you know, this is
in a much more formal way than we did in this conversation.
Yeah.
Because these were a lot of like preliminary things. But I think also it took us trial and erroring for a few years, some of these things, before we really realized like what are our weaknesses when it comes to finances and what are our strengths and how can we make a, what did we call them? Statement, financial. What's our thing that we called it?
Our pillars?
Yeah, I mean, it is a pillar, but it's our one paragraph synopsis of like, this is what we believe about money and what do we call that? I don't know. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But during this conversation with Chris and Jamie and then the tangent conversations that we had about finances, we talked a lot about, you know, what were the, like, we had conversations about like, okay, Jared, like, what are you passionate about giving to? What am I passionate about giving to? And then we sort of both had our things that stem from that of like, okay, here's the consistent things that we really felt led to give to. And what are we passionate about spending our money on? And like, one of those things for us was giving, we wanted to prioritize the ability to give each other gifts. And like, that was a big thing for us.
So how are we going to make that a reality?
And so just like talking about those things and just also talking about how we're going to save our money and budgeting and learning about all the different resources that are out there and discovering Dave Ramsey and all of that just was helpful beginner level conversations for us. And I'd still say we're in beginner level conversations when it comes to this, but I think now having sort of trial and erred some things for the past 5 years, we've really sort of had to crack the whip on this in the past year, especially with just our businesses.
Like you said though, babe, it's kind of one of those things where you've got to, you know, ride the horse a little bit before you kind of know how to train it. And so we're, even this year, like I said, we just kind of wrote down, okay, this is our belief about money. This is what we're going to live into and is going to be our uncompromising you know, value system around money. But it took 5 years to get there. It mm-hmm. took a while to, you know, 4 years to get there. It took some time. Mm-hmm. And
but that doesn't mean, I just want to disclaimer that though, that doesn't mean that we didn't, like, that doesn't mean we just checked out in 5 years and decided to start having the financial conversation. That's not what we're saying at all. Maybe I misinterpreted. But, you know, we were having those conversations from the beginning and just we're constantly having them. But it hasn't really been until the past year that we've really sort of got our minds really wrapped around that. Today is the day that our book, A Love Letter Life, finally releases out into the world. So if you have yet to pre-order your copy of A Love Letter Life, you can go and actually buy the book in stores now at a retailer near you, or you can go online to Amazon or wherever you buy your books and grab a copy of A Love Letter Life. We are so excited for you to read this book, and we just hope that it encourages you, challenges you, and inspires you wherever you're at in your love story, that it would just bring you more hope and just get you more excited to press in new ways that you can be creative, intentional, and faithful.
Next is the discussion about physical intimacy. And this is obviously kind of ties into a lot of discussions you have when you're dating and whatnot, but just knowing each other's story, I think, is really, really important and valuable, and getting everything out on the table so that you fully kind of know what you're, you know, who you're marrying and what you're going into, you know, as you progress on the road to marriage, to oneness. And then within marriage, obviously, this conversation continues to happen just with boundaries and how you're going to protect that oneness in that union.
And I think for us, like, we had conversations when it came to, like, you know, preparing more for our marriage than our wedding. We had conversations about, okay, like, obviously, Jeremy and I, we're virgins, just blanket statement that. And we talk about how we, in the book, we titled this chapter Losing the Purity Battle, because even though we are virgins, we realize we are fighting the wrong battle. We are fighting the virginity battle, not the purity battle. And so there, you know, we dive into that a lot more in the book. But what we really wanted to hone in on here was just that we had to make boundaries for purity leading up to our wedding day. But then once we got married, all of a sudden we have all this freedom that we didn't have before, that we had to put all these boundaries around. We have this freedom within marriage to, like, express our desire for physical intimacy and actually act on that. But mm-hmm. then we also still needed purity boundaries.
Yeah.
And so like having conversations about that, but then also, like, I remember Chris and Jamie asked us or told us to talk about what our expectations were for our wedding night, which was basically us being like, we don't have expectations because we don't know.
But it was good to talk about it beforehand. Like, we basically, even beforehand, I remember we gave each other permission, like, hey, if we get to our hotel room and we're both just zonkered, this wasn't the case, by the way.
Yeah, we saw,
like, but like, we too. Have you have
and Jamie and Chris told us that they're like, you guys do realize this is, like, going to be one of the most stressful, longest days of your life, and all of a sudden you're going to have this expectation. All of a sudden you're gonna have
yeah, if your expectation is to be up all night and do all, you know, it's like, right. Just think about that and talk about it. And so we had that expectation management discussion, and that was super helpful.
And then another thing I would say to that just was, Chris and Jamie really encouraged us to, on our honeymoon, and I'm sorry if this sounds awkward to say, and you can cut it from the podcast if you don't want it to be in there, babe, but like, they encouraged us to have times of, like, spontaneous sex or whatever on honeymoon, but then also have times of just literally learning each other and talking through things and what we're comfortable with and what we're not, and sort of, like, this sounds weird, but like deciding what those times are going to be, because obviously you don't want it to be like that every time. But then sometimes you do just need to talk through that, because it was a learning curve for us, you know? And so I would just say that was, like, another helpful thing for us, definitely. Knowing to know going into our honeymoon.
Definitely. So
Jer's like, stop talking about this, Aj. No. He like wants to move on so bad.
Yeah. Well, next on the list, six.
Mr. Nine on the Enneagram.
Shifting your me's to we's. And for us, this was a big kind of a principle we've been like practice that we've been implementing since day one, really. But when it comes to material things, our successes, even our failures, and pretty much anything we can, we try to make it a we thing, a we statement. And in the same way, the Bible claims our bodies are no longer our own. You know, we, Audrey and I, we believe like, well, if that's the case, if that's the reality, like our finances are no longer our own, nothing is really our own anymore. We're one in flesh and spirit. And so we want to live into that the best way we can, even with our speech. Mm. And so that's the whole point of shifting me's to we's, because speech is extremely powerful.
Yes.
Yet it's subtle. The mm-hmm. subtlest words can have the most powerful implications. And so, mm-hmm. you know, if we can train our, and also what comes out of the mouth is an overflow of what's in the heart, right? So if your heart is bent on oneness, then your speech should reflect that. And we statements do that. So instead of saying mm-hmm. like my this and you always, it's like, or for example, I think we mentioned this in the book, like we forget to take all the, and guys, we're not perfect at this at all. Like,
yeah,
this is a daily,
it's an awareness practice. Thing though that helps us,
it's an awareness
continue
thing
to pursue oneness, so back, instead of individual back to
my, yeah back to my example, like if I were to forget to take out the trash, Audrey would do her best to say, Jerry, we forgot to take out the trash last night.
We forgot to take out the trash. Not knowing Jerry, you well, forgot to take out the trash.
Knowing full well that's my job, and she might remind me like, hey, that's your job, you got to do that. That's mm-hmm. fine, because what, we're not going to hold hands and do everything. It's like, mm-hmm. that's my job. Jared, that's right. your job. But we forgot to take out the trash.
And then on the flip side, tell them the late thing, because I feel
yeah,
like
on
that's
the flip side,
so
Audrey, well, now I'm calling you out, but Audrey's late everywhere. And I was in a habit first year of our marriage of going like, yeah, I'll just late. Like, yeah, sorry, I'll just late. We're going to be there in a second. But then I, you know, through just the pursuit of oneness, that conversation shifted to, yeah, we're running late. And believe me, I have to say that through gritting teeth sometimes as I'm in the car waiting for 20 minutes.
It's also like a sorry, it's like a sorry we're late when we arrive somewhere. You know, like if instead of just being like Audrey was late or Audrey had to do this or Audrey was
it's
finishing
most
something
of the time
or whatever, it's like we are late.
Most of the time it's me responding to a text message or a yes. call when I'm in the car waiting and they're like, hey, where are you guys? And I want to say waiting for Audge, she's late. But like mm-hmm. instead I would just own that it's an us thing, it's a we thing. Plus, it's a very good demonstration for, it just shows unity to the people you're talking with. So like when you are in public or when I, like, for example, when I text Dan, you know, hey, like, yeah, we're running a little late. I've just told Dan we're unified and he doesn't need to know that what, like, you know, whose fault it is. Like, mm-hmm. that's just me saying like, oh, I'm prideful and I would be on time. But if it wasn't for my darn wife, you know, that's kind of what that's the subtleties of it, you know, and I might've over-exaggerated that a little bit, but that's kind of how subtle the language can be. And so anyways, this is just a principle to press into, mm-hmm. We shifting instead of me shifting.
Mm-hmm. And I think even in our successes, we try to do this too. Like we like launched Sherpas. We wrote a book, obviously we actually did that together, but like if there are things where yeah. just Jeremy really did it, or just like really at the end of the day it was a Jeremy thing or it was a me thing, we still try to publicly proclaim them as we things.
Well,
half the things I do without Jeremy, and Jeremy couldn't do half the things he does without me, and ultimately it just goes back to like oneness. Instead of building strands of individualness, we want to build strands of togetherness and oneness. And so we just try to be intentional about that without taking it to this extreme weird level of like, obviously we're different human beings.
Yeah.
And obviously we have different
obviously things. You like, have your passions.
Right.
Audrey has her passions. I've got my passions. Obviously Audrey is going to go on to write a book one day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the same or, right. you know, whatever it is. So it's like, this is, again, yeah, mm-hmm. don't take this as like this black and white. It's just something to live into.
And just knowing that, you know, it's something that you'll have to evolve in because, like, for example, when it comes to beliefs, you may not have all of the same values or core beliefs. You may not.
Yeah.
And you may have to figure out what your we things are going to be. You may have to meet in the middle ground on that and find those we things because otherwise you're just going to.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, this is all just a big, long, beautiful journey. Mm-hmm. And that's why we call it the story, you know, mm-hmm. and that's why it's a love letter life. And it's writing the core message of our book is writing a beautiful love story that you want to have read back to you one day. Mm-hmm. No good story stays in the clouds the whole time.
Yeah.
And no good story figures everything out in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It's the process of the journey and of the story. Sorry to sound cliche, but
it takes the hard things.
Makes it a good story. And so I just want to say, like, yes, Audrey and I were intentional about these things. You can be too. But at the end of the day, it's all just a big, long process.
you sound like such a downer. It's all just at the end of the day. It's
no,
all
just yeah, like maybe I sound like a, this is quite a launch day
still
podcast.
Still do these things, guys.
Yeah, still do these things, but it's really, really good to do. And I don't mean to sound like a downer. I'm just saying, like, you know, we just recently came out with that money statement. Although we've been talking and having that discussion about money for years, it's like, you know, yeah, who knows? That's going to change in 5 years. We're going to revisit it. Right. So.
All this to say, you know, we hope that these six things are just encouraging ideas for you, whether you are not married yet but want to be one day, as ways that you can prepare for your marriage, or whether you're dating, engaged, especially. We hope they're helpful. And even if you're married, maybe there's some of these things that you've never actually talked to your spouse about, and we hope yeah. that is encouragement to you. You know, we really feel like we call it in our book Preparing for the Promise. These were kind of the things that we did to prepare for the promise. And when you get to the preparing for the promise phase of like, I know I'm going to marry this person. And now how do we prepare for marriage? By that point, you should know the basics. Like, do you share the same love of Christ? Do you value the word of God? What is your vision for family? Do you want to have kids? Where do you desire to live? What are your career goals? Like, you should know those things before you get to that point. But this preparing for the promise phase is like taking it one step deeper than that and going into yeah. more of what we call an illumination of the past so yeah. that you can imagine the future. And I give this analogy in the book about it's kind of like chess, where sometimes you have to move the pieces back a few pieces to then be able to move forward. It's like, what's that piece mm-hmm. in chess that does that? The horse, where you have to go back.
Most of sometimes them can
you have
to, move.
Or they can all move backwards. Yeah. Most of them can move backwards. Anyway, yeah. sometimes you have to move back. So and then sometimes you have to sacrifice some pieces so that you can set yourself up for the next move. So,
yeah. All right. So, yeah, on that note, kind of to wrap it up, I guess, it's kind of a lot of information here, but premarital counseling, it's so, so, so valuable, or just marriage counseling in general. Like, we believe in both of them, and we believe both of them are very, very valuable. They're going to expose old wounds. They're going to show you patterns and habits that you have. And it kind of sounds like a ton of work, but it has immense payoff. Mm-hmm. It has lifelong payoff. And so mm-hmm. be willing to put in a couple, you know, sweat and tears up front to, you know, really set yourself up for the long haul in a good, healthy way.
And if you think about it, the reality is most people in our generation are willing to work so hard planning for their wedding and put in all that time and all that money and all that effort.
Yeah.
And so when people say like, well, I can't afford premarital counseling or whatever, but then they think
marriage
30
is
grand
just gonna...
on a wedding. It's like, well,
yeah, it's like,
so as hard as planning a wedding can be, preparing for marriage is hard. It's maybe harder because it requires a lot of exposing vulnerable areas of your lives. But I think that's why the majority of our generation does skimp out on it, is they're afraid of being vulnerable and exposing their struggles and receiving hard truth. But like Jer said, it is so worth it because it will prepare you for marriage, a healthy marriage that is just founded on knowing where each other's been so that you can imagine the future together.
Yeah, and where you want to go
forward, in light of
totally
your mission as a married couple.
So this is kind of a, I don't know, was this a heavy podcast? I don't
maybe
think so.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little, but
sometimes they are though.
I yeah, mean, sometimes that's okay. They are. It's just we just were like, okay, look, what's the couple things we did? But those are them.
So that's the hit list, guys.
We feel like you can do that pre-marriage, or we feel like you should do that pre-marriage, and you can do all of these in marriage. Mm-hmm. We still are for sure.
And so, if there's things that you guys did before you're married or that you are currently doing, other books that you're loving, like we said, The Meaning of Marriage. I know You and Me Forever was another one we really loved. Loveology, yeah. Sacred Marriage. Like if there's other books that you guys love, comment on our podcast.
Yeah.
Instagram, Behind the Scenes Podcast. We'd love to see what creative ways and intentional ways that you guys are preparing more for your marriages than your wedding, or what ways that you're just continuing to invest in your marriage today. And
yeah, definitely.
And what that looks like. So
yeah, last note I'll say about kind of doing it with a counselor or just mentors or good friends is it helps the conversation happen. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people I feel like don't know how to have these conversations. Like, mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean? Yeah. How do I bring this up with my spouse? Right. They're gonna think I'm like, true. I'm yes. judging our relationship, or they're gonna think that I think something's wrong when really I just want things to be good and better. And it's yeah. like, we totally get that. And that I think is a relationship to relationship basis. Like, you know your spouse well. Mm-hmm. And that's a difficult thing. That's a difficult one. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to, you know, share a couple ways that could happen. I think just being gentle and patient with it and bringing it up. Because a lot of men might be resistant, you know, like, what do you mean where you want to talk about this? Like, I don't know, everything's fine, right? So, yeah, I think just being graceful and persistent, and then obviously being very clear about your motives. Like, I love you, I love us, and this is what I want. And I'd appreciate it if you, you know, had a conversation with me about this, because I want us to be the best we can be. I don't think many men would turn that down, you know? And so,
yeah, but that's a good thing. I would say,
like, I'm acknowledging that this is difficult. Like, we just talked about a lot of conversations, and I just want to say, like, yeah, but like having the conversation is difficult.
What's one thing, babe, that you would encourage women in that maybe their husbands are reluctant to do premarital counseling, or maybe in marriage reluctant to go to counseling, or even just meet with an older, wiser mentor couple, and it's like the wife is kind of like dragging the husband to do that? How can you encourage the wives? What would you say to the wives?
Obviously, not to just lay out the super obvious Christian answer, but like, pray for your husband's heart. I can't tell you how many dozens and dozens of stories we've heard of the husband or the guy not wanting to do it. And then one day he just says, like, hey, I think we should do this. And she's like, I've been praying for this for 3 months, you know. That happens a lot, because it's not our job to change our spouse's heart. It's God's. So and he does that through prayer. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is, guys don't want to feel incompetent or like they're not enough. Mm-hmm. And so if you can pose it in a way of like, hey, you're doing really great. Mm-hmm. We're doing good. You're not failing. I'm not unsatisfied, you know? But I think this would be a good idea. Here's why.
Mm-hmm. Not pointing out the lack, but the striving for more.
Exactly.
It's like, I want more for our
guys
marriage.
Guys will, yeah, exactly.
Instead of,
because they'll shut down if they feel like it's pointing out a wound or a failure or an incompetency in them. They'll shut down and say no. Mm. It's kind of a wall that goes up, and it's just innate in us.
What would you tell, babe, to the guys that are in that situation? Like, if you were talking to a guy whose wife really wanted him to go to premarital or marriage counseling, and he was really resistant, how would you encourage him?
I mean, yeah, that's a good question. Well, first of all, why not?
Mm-hmm.
I think they first have to answer why not.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't do that, well, then there's your answer. You just go. Two, like, love your wife according to knowledge. And I just think that, like, if this is something you know, that she really, really wants to do and it's something that would help you. Okay, you got to weigh the pros and cons. Like, if it's something that will help your relationship, if it's something that maybe you need it, you know, but you're just stubborn or prideful and you just don't want it, but you know you need it, you know, go through kind of those pros and cons and weigh them out. And I think at the end of the day, you'll find way more reasons to do it than not to do it. Mm. And men being more mathematical, our brains tend to be more mathematical in that sense. Like, we just, like, we're going to math it out and weigh it out. And if it makes sense, we do it. If it doesn't, we don't. You know, there tends to be less feelings involved. And so mm-hmm. weigh it out.
It's good. Yeah, sorry to put you on the spot.
No, yeah, you just totally put me on the spot there.
No, I thought that might be helpful to people listening that are wondering those things.
And
I think you have good perspective on it.
And if people comment on the DM and want more of just the practical, well, how does this play out? Because we kind of went through a lot of history, what we do and what we still do. But if on the podcast you guys say, like, well, like, you know, we want you guys to talk or share your thoughts on how this can actually happen and the practical ways to implement these.
Read the book.
Well, yeah, read the book, but we can maybe do that, but you got to let us know. So we should probably wrap this one up.
Thorns, roses.
Yep, thorns, roses. Roses and thorns. Babe, what's your... Well, let's just jump to the rose.
Launch day. Which I hope is my rose by the time this podcast airs.
Yeah, well, we're a couple days away, but yeah, but I mean, yes. this week's been awesome. So we're super excited. It's been full of fun. I'm just going to say thorn for both of us again is probably Ember. Just, it's going to be tough being away from her for those stretches of time, but we're not going to hang out there. We're going to stick on the rose here.
Yes, that is my rose, and that probably will be my rose. And my rose is going to be seeing all of you guys sharing photos of our book, holding it up on social media and seeing you read it and hearing your feedback and reading the reviews and reading the comments. That's going to be my rose, because that is 2 years of hard work and just so much prayer and thought and work went into this mm-hmm. launch. And that is going to be just so rewarding. Seeing the book in your guys' hands and in your homes is going to be just crazy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Please share so we can see that, because that's going to be just such an encouragement. So,
well, you guys,
if you have been listening to this podcast for a while now and you have yet to go and leave a review, would you just take 2 minutes to go and leave a review?
Not even two seconds.
You don't even have to say anything. You can just hit that 5-star button or whatever review you think. Well, don't leave us a 2-star review, please. No.
Yeah. you can just click the stars, leave a short review.
It takes less than 12 seconds. Helps us. We have some amazing guests lined up to be on the podcast this season, and we want to just continue to get even more amazing guests for you guys. So that really helps us. It really helps the podcast get seen, and it really helps us get more better guests on the show, good guests on the show. So please take a second to do that if you haven't yet. You can also follow our podcast Instagram account. It is Behind the Scenes Podcast. And if you share the podcast on your Instagram stories or Instagram feed, every week we give away 5 Starbucks gift cards.
We buy 5 of you coffee.
Yes, we buy 5 of you coffee every Tuesday. So if you share about the podcast on release day, which now, since we're doing 2 episodes a week, that's 2 chances a week for you to win coffee. So 5 of you, we buy coffee every Tuesday and Thursday. And so make sure you're sharing the episode, tag us in your stories. We want to see you there. And the last and final thing is, if you guys have not pre-ordered our book, A Love Letter Life, you can go and actually buy the book now, not pre-order, in bookstores.
Anywhere books are sold.
Or on Amazon, or if you just go to aloveletterlife.com, you can buy it there. And we hope to see you guys on tour.
Happy launch day.
Happy launch day.
We will talk to you next week. We appreciate you guys.
Later this week. Remember, 2 episodes a week.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, later this week. Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. We'll
love you guys.
We'll talk to you guys later, and we'll see some of you on the road.